morning and welcome to the council meeting of February 25th, 2020. First things.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. This time I have no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Then motion to approve the agenda.
Approve it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Approval of minutes. We had the minutes of the last meeting. Any questions, corrections on those?
None.
They'll stand approved. Any correspondence, Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have one letter, and it's from Just a Hands Up Community Navigation, and it's thanking the County Council for their grant.
Any correspondence from Council? Correspondence from Council. Public comment. Mr. Guy, am I signed up? Thank you, sir. Keith Steck.
Not sure who I give my written comments to. But
right down there.
Okay,
be fine.
Thank you for the opportunity to bring this issue before the council. My name is Keith Steck. I'm with the Delaware Coalition for Open Government. My address is 210 Lavinia Street in Milton, Delaware. First, let me say my comments are focused on process and procedures and not people. I only recently became aware that sludge cannot be applied to land zone general residential, or GR for short. My awareness happened well after the Planning and Zoning Commission had its hearing on the Mount Air Conditional Use Request Case 2186. After the commission voted to approve the request and recommended council approve it, and after council's hearing on the request. I was still researching this when council voted to approve the request. When I heard that sludge cannot be applied to Sussex County properties zone GR, given recent cases and decisions, I decided to delve into the county zoning and other ordinances to see if this was true, and found it was. In spite of this, Planning and Zoning Commission approved Mount Air's conditional use request last week. Council approved that request based on P&Z Commission's recommendation. In effect, the way I interpret this situation is meant the commission either missed or ignored the county zoning provision not allowing sludge on general residential zone property and recommended council follow suit. Therefore, I'm asking that the council either throw out or suspend its approval. Complicating this situation is figuring out how to approve council about this. I looked into the zoning ordinance, council, and the commission's rules and procedures, and I see nothing that addresses this kind of a situation. So that's why I'm making this request. To begin, no sludge is allowed on two of the three parcels at the heart of this case. The largest parcel is allowed under the ordinance because it's zoned AR1. It allows both the application of sludge and spray irrigation. However, the two other parcels are zoned general residential, and sludge is not allowed to be applied. The ordinance does not allow under two sections, and an overall chapter-wide provision also states that when uses are not listed, then they're prohibited. This prohibition of applying sludge on GR parcels was not evident in the documentation and the record provided to the public, such as case documents or via the website. There's no evidence or clear statement in the record that this about this, and to me, this failure to document either the request complying with or contradicting the zoning ordinance is not the first time this has happened. The same situation arose with the recent 7-Eleven and the Old Mill Landing cases. I found no indication this kind of compliance check or request comparing the request ordinances is required by the by the commission regarding conditional uses.
If you could kind of wrap it up. 3 minutes is up.
The bottom line is...
Don't overtalk.
The bottom line under this kind of case undermines the confidence in the public that local government decision-making is in fact, solidly founded. If someone who used to do this kind of analysis for a living, including compliance audits and investigative work, I find it disconcerting that there are indications that the P&Z office and commission lack sufficient internal controls to ensure due diligence is done in making these kinds of decisions, especially making recommendations to county council.
Thank you, sir. Your time's up. Thank you.
My record includes recommendations for your consideration.
Thank you. Mr. Lawson, let's move on the agenda down to our recognition of our retiree.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. Today we are honored to recognize a retiring county employee. I see Richard is in the audience. Richard E. Johnson, Jr. I have a tribute and a plaque that I'd like to present to Mr. Johnson in recognition of his services to the county. Mr. President, if you would help me give the plaque out, I'll read the plaque first. It says, presented to Richard E. Johnson, Jr. by the Sussex County Council in grateful appreciation for 28 years and 7 months, July 1, 1991 to February 25, 2020, outstanding service and dedication as a CAD specialist in the mapping and addressing department. I also have a tribute here I'd like to read. Sussex County Council tribute, be it hereby known to all that the County Council commends Richard E. Johnson, Jr. for devotion, loyalty, and excellence in serving Sussex County from July 1, 1991 to February 25, 2020, 28 years and 7 months. The County Council extends its thanks and congratulations and directs this tribute to be presented to Richard Johnson with wishes of happiness and good health. Congratulations, Richard.
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Congratulations. I see you're celebrating already.
I want you, hold this. We'll get you.
That's cool. Thank you very much.
Oh, good.
I dressed conservative for today. I'm going to Atlantic City tomorrow, and I got all my blinking shoes packed away to go.
Really? Well, good for you. Good for you. You like to say a few words while you're here?
Yes, sir, if I can.
Help yourself.
I first I want to thank the council and Mr. Lawson for employing me for the 28-plus years. And my career began with the county in 1991, and I was instrumental, myself and Bertha Johnson, in digitizing the maps. And that took us over 6 years to accomplish. And from that moment forward, the county was in the digital future with the mapping. And I'm very proud of our system. I think that we have come a long way compared to some other counties in what we have. And I'm here to serve the citizens of Sussex County and County Council, and I've done that very well. And I appreciate this beautiful plaque and the certificate. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you for all you've done for the county. We appreciate it very much. Mr. Lawson?
Should we go to the presentation or do you want me to do the...
Whichever you want.
Okay.
Yeah, go to the presentation first.
Okay.
That's fine. Yeah,
all right, thank you.
We don't want to hold them up. They got important things to do, I'm sure.
Yes. All right, today we're joined by our friends from the Office of State Planning on state strategies. We're going to get an update regarding the state strategies map. I see Director Holland is here. Thank you, Connie, for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm short, so I have to adjust the mic. Thank you. As I look across the council, a lot of you I know very well and worked with before. Some of you I don't. So we're hoping that you get a lot of information what we're bringing you here today. We're not going to do, this is not the draft of the new state strategies that's coming out. What we wanted to do today was give you an overview of why we have state strategies, how we work on the levels 1, 2, and 3, how we come to that, and take any questions that you have about it. Just to give you a heads up, there will be a public hearing. Thank you for allowing us to use, it's not a public hearing, public meeting, on April 2nd from 5:30 to 7. From 5:30, we have the local jurisdictions come and look at the maps, and at 7, it's the public. So please come and be part of that practice. The one thing I want to reiterate before I turn it over to my staff is this is not a parcel map data. This is information that comes from the 57 local jurisdictions and their comp plans and the 3 counties. So hopefully with that information and the information David Edgel, my principal planner that's going to do the presentation, will help you through that. I'd like to recognize Marion Pillion. Familio. She's our GIS person, and she's put us in the 21st century. And also Trish Arndt, she's a principal planner for Newcastle. And since she's from Sussex, she wanted to come down and be with you, too. Dorothy Morris sends her condolences. She is your principal planner, but say a little prayer for Dorothy. She's had back surgery. So she will be with us, we hope, in 4 to 6 weeks. And at this time, I'll turn it over to David Edgel to give you a presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Guy.
Good morning, everybody. Let me get our presentation up and running here. All right, welcome. I'm David Edgel, principal planner with the Office of State Planning Coordination. I'm going to give you a brief overview of the strategy for state policies and spending, just so you understand the document, the maps, how things are done. We're in the process of our 2020 update. We're going to talk about the purpose and why we do the state strategies, how it's used, our update process, the data and the maps with the investment levels, and then as Connie mentioned, we are going to be opening up a public comment and review period later this spring, which we'll go over in some detail. The state strategies has been done 4 times. Originally it was done in 1999, and we've updated it roughly every 5 years since. The current version is that 2015 version that we're using today, and we are now in the process of the 2020 update, which is why we're here. The origination of the state strategies, back in the early 1990s, the state government wanted to get more involved with the local governments and with planning, and they formed a cabinet committee on state planning issues, which still exists today. That committee was charged with considering matters related to orderly growth and development of the state, recommendations for the most general pattern of land use, and at that time our office was the staff. I wasn't there at the time, but our office prepared the first version of that 1999 state strategies. And in 2011, it actually became a code requirement that our office work with this cabinet committee and prepare the state strategies on a 5-year updated basis. Why do we have the state strategies? It's to coordinate land use decision making with the provision of infrastructure and services. Why do we do this? In Delaware, land use decisions are a local government responsibility, as they are in many other places. But unlike other places, infrastructure and services are often a state responsibility or a state-funded responsibility, and we need to coordinate the two so that we don't have waste and inefficiency, and that we're working with our local governments and the agencies are all working in concert. Here's a slide which just kind of gives a little basic overview of some of the things that the state funds or provides that are usually the responsibility of local governments, either counties or large municipalities in other states. Roads, public school construction and operations, the state funds a majority of, transportation, 30% of paramedics, and of course our largest police force are all things that the state government funds or provides that are related in a very close way to land use decisions of where people live, where people work, and where we develop land and preserve land. Here are some facts. I want you to memorize all these facts, but the point we want to make here is that there are 60 different levels of local government in Delaware, as well as half a dozen or so state agencies that work with some version of land use development, infrastructure, and services. So we need to coordinate all those entities. And the fact that we are growing, as you know, in Sussex County, you're one of the fastest growing counties. We're projecting about 66,600 more people in 20 years, 25,500 new housing units. Where those housing units go, where those people live, is very important for for our land use strategies. The state strategies for policy spending is a policy document that really applies to the state and its agencies. And the state and its agencies use this document on a daily basis in most of their operations and things that they do. Our preliminary land use service reviews, which we do every month, we refer to the state strategies. Very importantly, capital budget requests and reviews every year, that's tied to the state strategies. Where are we putting our money and our infrastructure versus where our local government's growing? School site approvals and infrastructure and public facility locations are all tied to this state strategies document policies and maps. And as mentioned, we use the local government comprehensive plans, all use the state strategies as they're being developed. As you know, Sussex County just went through your plan. We put your picture right there in the middle of your new comprehensive plan you worked so hard on. But we really take that information and embed it in the state strategies methodology and the documents, as you'll see here in a minute. And again, the process involves a review and a certification by our office and the agencies, and the governor ultimately certifies it, certifying that your plans are in concert with our state strategies. So it's really us working together. Why do we update? Well, it's a code requirement, number one. Number two, all the local governments are updating their plans they review them every 5 years, they update them every 10 years, but not everybody's on the same cycle. So in every 5 year period, a number of plans are updated. In this 5 year period, actually most of the plans in the state have been updated. So we wanna make sure we're using those up-to-date information from the local governments, most up-to-date information from the state agencies. And you know, rather than wait a full 10 years, we do ours on that five-year basis. Our update process, this is kind of a thumbnail sketch of it, but we spend a lot of time collecting that data and those updates from those comprehensive plans and the state agencies. We consult with local governments, your counties, MPOs, and others. You'll see in a minute the maps. We collect a lot of the mapping data that is constantly changing. And as mentioned, we'll have public workshops, do reviews, and ultimately it's approved by the cabinet committee and implemented by the governor through executive order. Here's some examples of some of the data we use to make the maps. In addition to your local government land use, we look at these types of things: school sites, transit, social services, public safety, agricultural preservation, natural resources. And I have some slides here to show you kind of in visual terms. This is all our maps for the 2020 update are not completed yet. They'll be released on March 30th. These pictures are from 2015, but you'll get the general idea. Basically, we start with the municipal comprehensive plans and their growth areas. That's really from your local government plans. We add the county growth areas from your comprehensive plans. Then we look at factors that are favoring development. These are things that would argue that development is identified or should occur in those areas, things like sewer, water, transit, schools, public safety facilities, et cetera, and so on. We also look at the other side of things, areas that should be protected or preserved, agricultural preservation, wetlands, forests, things of that nature. And we also look at things which we consider to be out of play. These are lands that are somehow permanently preserved or protected in some way, for instance, an agricultural preservation easement or a federal wildlife refuge, something of those nature. So those are added in. And we do an analysis using the geographic information system that ends up classifying these into four different investment levels. Again, this is the 2015 map. The 2020 map will be released on March 30th. I'm going to show you the four different investment levels and just what's in those levels. Investment level one is their darkest red. Those are areas that are built or already built. Those are lands that are probably, downtown Georgetown, where we're sitting here is in level one, Wilmington, Dover, and your more built up areas of the county that have been there for a while, have infrastructure and services already in place. Your level two are your sort of next tier. Those are your growing areas where a lot of development activity is occurring and where you have infrastructure extended and other facilities. Level three, that's kind of your longer range growth areas. Some development's happening here, but it also is comprised of some farmland, possibly. There's some different levels of development in this area. And this is really mostly identified as longer term growth in terms of both the state agencies and also in the county and municipal plans. Investment level four are rural areas where we're expecting more rural land uses such as agriculture, agricultural industry, also natural resource protection. And level four also shows up, you know, areas with environmental constraints and things of that nature. And then, of course, you're out of play or your lands that are protected or preserved by some legal mechanism or code or ownership. And some final thoughts. As Connie mentioned, the way these maps are made, they are not parcel-based maps. So, you know, they're done with this geographic information system and everything's a grid, so different things have different colors and shapes. So when you zoom right in, you know, one parcel may have one or more different colors on it. We always say that you need to check with your local government in terms of, you know, growth or development. These are not land use plan maps per se. They're strategy maps for state policies. And even in the growth-oriented investment levels and that investment level one that shows up with all the utilities and services and things going on there, there may be environmental factors or other reasons why that is parcel shouldn't be developed. So again, it's always important to go back and check with your local government comprehensive plan and your zoning and land use regulations. And finally, we do have a, you know, codicil in there. You know, circumstances may exist where health, safety, and welfare needs to be addressed and where the strategies may not appear like they would support investment. If all the local governments and state agencies agree that that's a desirable state investment, those investments will be made. For instance, if there's a rural community that's showing up as level four in terms of a rural agricultural area, but it needs help with water or septic or things of that nature, you know, that's certainly a health, safety, and welfare condition that could be considered on a case-by-case basis. And here's our timeline for this review. We've been working on this actually since July, collecting all the data and making the maps and updating the document. We're going to open the public comment period on March 30th, and it will go till April 30th. We're having seven public workshops during that period, three in Sussex County. And we will make revisions in May and make a final presentation to our cabinet committee in June. And the governor will implement the plan, the strategies after that at some point. These are the workshops. If you're interested, I hope you are. April 2nd, as Connie mentioned, will be right here in the council chambers, 5:30 to 7 p.m. 5:30 p.m. is reserved for our local governments to come in, and you as county council are certainly welcome to come in and look in detail at the maps and ask questions and review the document. But again, we'll be in Laurel April 1st and Lewis and Nassau on April 7th. And if you really want to come up to, you know, Middletown with us, you're welcome to do that, or over to Milford and Dover. Matter of fact, I think the Milford Public Library is actually in Sussex County, so that should be read too. It is. And here's some contact information. Again, just in closing, any one of us are able to answer questions. You know, I mostly focus on Kent County. Trisha is from Newcastle County, and Dorothy, who is out on medical leave, is for Sussex County. And Miriam, who is in the audience here, she's really the guru on the data and the mapping and those types of things, and can answer those types of questions. And that's the end of this presentation, and I can certainly take any questions about the overall strategies, and Connie's here to certainly chip in and help answer any of your questions.
Any questions? Any questions? Mr. Wilson?
About Park Avenue, right?
Excuse me?
There was nothing said about Park Avenue.
Park Avenue, no, I don't believe.
That was promised that Secretary told she had, she'd have done at least the next 2 years.
Okay. That was a DelDOT.
Yeah, that's DelDOT. That's
not state planning.
Right, that's a road project.
Yeah. Well, you said we had land use. We had controlled land, right?
That is correct.
You got that?
That's in
the roads.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Have you fellas got that? That we control the land?
Any more questions, Council? Mr. Riley?
I would like to know if we can get a copy of this presentation.
Yeah, you have the presentation on your computer here. And
it's right there. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right.
The answer to that is yes.
Yes. Yes.
That was fast. I appreciate that quick response.
That's quick service.
That's quick service. Yeah.
Anything else?
Glad to help.
The question was posed to me was what type of spending is this control? I mean, down to prioritizing snow removal and things of that nature.
I don't believe it gets down quite that far. That's an operational aspect that the Department of Transportation has to manage their responsibilities on each subdivision street. And this would, you know, from a DelDOT perspective, for example, this would affect how they prioritize capital projects. whether they build roads in one area or another area, or they have policies that relate to if development's going to occur in a level one area, they require sidewalks and multi-use paths. If it's going to occur in a rural area, in a level four area, they don't require those things because it's not a place where people would walk. So that's the type of spending that it does direct.
So, but mostly,
mostly capital.
Capital projects, but mostly relating to roads, bridges, and that sort of thing.
Not exactly.
Not exactly.
State facilities.
All capital projects. We
all capital projects.
Yeah, we don't.
Buildings.
We made it abundantly clear maybe about 12 years ago that schools should not be in level four. We didn't want our children on the school bus for an hour and, you know, not having the education that they wanted. So the schools are allowed in level three. So it's really the prior, David said it right, it's our capital improvements, where we put our schools, where we put our infrastructure, where we put our paramedic stations, you know, where we fund the larger capital projects within our OMB.
How do you fit into this process? I mean, are you...
How do we fit into it?
You're a consultant, so to
no,
speak?
No, no. No, we are the Office of
State Planning. I know you are
part
of the state, but
with OMB.
Do you fit in the process of, say, DLDOT's decision-making?
Well, we have applications that go through the Preliminary Land Use Service, and at that time, we let the developer know what's level they are in state strategies. Also, it was paramount when you were going through the comprehensive plan process that your comp plan didn't meet the criteria of state strategies, which it did. So we are the liaison between the state, 57 municipalities, and the three counties to make sure that we also want to know what your funding priorities are. That's why your comprehensive plan is very, very important to us, because we have to figure out where to put our money. We have to know where you're going to be expanding services and where we should be putting roads, where we should be putting schools, healthcare facilities, EMT stations. So it's a working together coordination.
So you would check off, you'd be a person that would check off on proposals to make sure that it's coordinating with.
Yes, we don't say yay or nay. That's completely up to you. But we say, you know, we verify which level you're in so that you can make the appropriate decision.
Any more questions?
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Hudson.
Oh,
Mr. Hudson, you're up.
Thanks. When and where is the appropriate time to, I don't know whether you request or we would request or discuss getting levels moved up, say from a 4 to a 2?
Well, actually, why we wanted to come down here today to talk to you, the levels are done completely on data, which David showed you how close you are to a fire station, how close you are to a school, where your sewer districts are, where the water is, where the infrastructure is to support it. If someone wanted the level bumped up, we don't really do that. What we do is we take the data. Now, if you want to change something in your comprehensive plan to make it different, maybe a different zoning or an amendment to your comprehensive plan, you do that in-house. Okay. And then it's paramount that you understand what David said. Our state strategies for policies and spendings, we could not keep up with 57 municipalities and three counties on amendments. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen. So we give you have the responsibility and you have the authority per your comprehensive plan. So that's why we send developers to the local jurisdiction to see if it's in compliance with their comp plan. If it's in compliance with the comp plan, we'll be fine with it in state strategies.
What I was thinking about was areas that we know that are exploding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the growth down here.
They should be in the comp plan. And this makes it a little difficult because we cannot... Areas you know that are exploding, I hope, are in your comp plan. If they're not, they should amend that. Your plan should be amended to have that designated in that fashion, because we can't. We went through this with Newcastle County. I'll use another county, so I won't pick on you guys because you did it fine. Newcastle County does sewer districts much differently than our other two counties within the state. You have a great program on where you're going to expand sewer. Newcastle County does it a little different. It's first come, first serve. We like the way you do it, and Kent County does it, because If, in fact, you decide you're going to expand a sewer district someplace, you vote on it, and that's where you're going to expand. Now, if you think you're going to expand it there, that's not going to be in this data, because we're very aware of the fact of what public hearings can do, and it could change. So we can't be going back and forth on what we think we're going to develop over here, but it turns out we're going to develop to the north or south or west. That actually happened to me when I was planner at Kent County. We thought it was going to boom up by Frederica. At the time, it didn't. It went north, more up by the Smyrna area. And had we put that in our comprehensive plan, as that's where we thought we were going to go, we would have been incorrect. So we want to make sure the data is correct. So we go with only the data that you all have voted on and know that's going to happen. But you're allowed to amend that, and that's why we send the developers to you first.
Any more questions?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Burton.
And Connie, thanks for coming down.
No problem.
We've been around
We've been around.
We've been around this a while. To Mr. Riley's question, you know, the coordination between the investment levels and DLDOT's investment levels, you know, sometimes it's very confusing for us,
sure.
Right? So you know, something's in a level four, and so there's going to be no investment, but we're faced with a land use decision,
mm-hmm.
that's going to affect the traffic conditions and the road conditions and et cetera. Mm-hmm. So having a, you know, with my 13 years, you know, when the developers are in the level one or two, they're real proud about it. And when they're in the level four, you know, that's just not quite mentioned, but I don't know that it makes any difference. You know, we just approved a 600 and some unit subdivision in a level four, right? So to the Office of State Planning, what does that do? And then furthermore, what do you do with DLDOT?
We would definitely, and you've gotten the letters, not be supportive of residential development in level four. Because what happens is we already have three levels, one, two, and three. Level four, when you put a subdivision out there, people expect services. They expect the EMT to be out there in 7 minutes. They would like to have a grocery store in that area. They probably like a school for children to go to attend. So it kind of eradicates the planning. And so we can't turn it down because the state does not take care of land use. It's the county or the local jurisdiction. We just have to let the county or the local jurisdiction know that's not where we're going to be putting our dollars unless it's for health, safety, or welfare. Now, level four, when we first started with state strategies, was when the boom was occurring, and we were really trying to preserve everything we can. Every town and every county that I talk to, I think we have to give our farmers, agriculture is the number one industry, and I think we have to look at our zoning and do some agricultural zoning classifications, such as ag industry and ag commercial, to help our farmers. I can tell you that we have, it makes it more difficult when houses are put out there. You know, I think it's a free country. Everybody should be able to live like they'd like to. We understand that people would like to live in the rural area, but I think it puts a great deal of pressure on a local jurisdiction once they do that, because people expect services. They are going to expect the fire company to be able to get there out there in the time that the insurance company says they should be. They also would like to, as I said before, have a gallon of milk instead of going maybe into the town of Georgetown or into Seaford or Laurel or whatever. And so it makes planning more difficult and much more expensive.
That's good. The you know, when you say investment levels, right? From my perspective, right, to go to a level four is often cheaper, than to go to a level
two. Oh, definitely.
Two, right?
But it's not always cheaper for the developer. I'm really, really proud of what the development community has done throughout the state. We do an annual report to the governor every year on where growth is going. I think 93% of the growth in Newcastle County is going to level one, two, and three, 87 in between that. I'm probably getting the numbers a little wrong, but the majority of the growth in Kent County is. And Sussex County's doing a better job, too. The developers.
Do you know what Sussex County's percentage is?
We do. I can look it up. It's in the annual report on our website.
Okay.
Please look at that we just gave to the governor. And I've worked with a lot of developers in Sussex County, and they really just want to know where to go. It may be cheaper land, but it's not cheaper infrastructure to get the you know, facilities that you need out there for a subdivision once you run the pipes or actually go to Artesian or Tidewater and get your standalone systems. A lot of times that doesn't work out on paper from what I'm understanding, because you have to have, you know, quite a big number of lots for that to work out.
And I think that statement's true, you know, on their playground,
mm-hmm.
right? But as far as the infrastructure that is on the road network, right, I don't know that equates out, right?
I can tell you, and I'm not Secretary of DLDOT, so I don't want to step on her toes, and I know they've been down here to talk to you quite a bit. I know that they have a new software that they put in a lot of information before they make their decisions too. So, and I know that you have talked to DLDOT a lot about development. What we do is through the preliminary land use service, we do take the comments from DLDOT and send them down to you so that you'll have them to make your decisions.
So it goes DLDOT and then you as far as
how it goes is the application, if it's for a subdivision or a commercial entity. Anything over 50 lots and 50,000 square feet of commercial comes through the preliminary land use service. You can submit it to the state anytime. That has to be done, though, prior to you making the decision, because it's not fair to you all, the decision makers, to not know what the state has to say about it. Fire marshal, soil erosion, sediment control plan, DENREC, if there's any wetlands, there's a leaky underground storage tank. We have DEMA coming now to know if there's flooding issues. We also have housing, to put the comments on there. So it goes through PLUS, we do a report and send it down to you all so you'll have it before you make your decision.
Is the DEMA new?
DEMA is new. We're very pleased. They've always been on PLUS. But they've seen the need because we are almost an island, the state of Delaware, so they'd like to be in attendance at PLUS to give their comments.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
More questions, Council? Mr. Lawson.
Just want to get your direction. If the Council wants to weigh in after seeing the preliminary maps, how would you prefer us weighing in?
By written comments and I just love Miriam and the gentleman that's retiring. He might have left, but he's everything. They're going to do something called a hub. Connie knows a little about it, but she knows she wants it. and so it'll be that you all can see the comments that came through state strategies, and we'll have them documented. It's always better to have them documented. Have your attorney there. I'm sure Mr. Moore would say it's better if it's in writing than hearsay. So there'll be a hub, and we'll take all your comments and certainly take them in consideration.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else? Thank you for coming down very much.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It. Thank you very much. Mr. Lawson, why don't you do your report real quick, and then we'll...
Yes, sir. County Administrator's report for February 25th, 2020, item number one. The Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for January 2020 is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 191 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of January. Item two, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, Seagrove, AKA Halton, Phase 5, received substantial completion effective February 21. And item 3, a reminder, the Council will not meet on March 3rd. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be held Tuesday, March 10th at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Entertain a motion to go to executive session for job applicants' qualifications.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burke.
Yes.
I will, yes. Now, an executive session where job applicants' qualifications.